There's been a lot of changes in the last few years, and we've seen a gradual evolvement towards more contracting out of many traditionally government services that might have been provided by federal employees. And so as the contractual relationship role of the government as an organization that lets contracts to deliver its services, you know, this environment continues to increase. You know, there's a term called inherently governmental, you know, and the Office of Management and Budget has tried to define what that means, you know, and what it means is it's supposed to be those areas that the government inherently has to do itself versus things that are contracted out. And I think to this day, there's a lot of ambivalence and confusion as to what the rules really are. And, you know, you kind of know it when you see it, when the contractor is doing maybe going beyond the original authority given to it by the government. I don't think that's necessarily the case in any of these circumstances, but it's the environment we find ourselves in, you know, where it's no secret that the federal employee, the numbers of federal employees is a decrease, the retirements are going up, certainly the budget issues of the last couple of years, and, you know, don't improve morale within the federal employee workspace. And as those folks leave, the ability of the government to hire, retain quality individuals that understand the requirements that they're levying on the contractor is challenging. So the contractor and the government have to have their best foot forward in this relationship and communicate well to make that happen. And that's been a concern and as evidenced by some of these issues.
Is it fair to say then that the level of experience or lack thereof in some cases in the contracting workforce generates some of this trust issue because this person hasn't been around enough yet to know whether what they're hearing from the vendor is in fact what they should be hearing from the vendor?
Yeah, it's hard to say in the individual circumstances what occurred, but it certainly is challenging. The contractor is being asked to do more and more, and it isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's imperative that the government have the skill set and the ability to understand what the contractor is supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do, and to manage that accordingly. In those cases, you know, time will tell what actually occurred. I'm sure there's reviews going on, but, you know, my guess is, as always, there's a little bit of responsibility on both sides of the table. You know, it's almost always a clear relationship, a clear understanding, but through contracting documentation as to what the responsibilities are. But though both parties have to live up to those responsibilities, whether it's writing those requirements clearly and managing that execution well. And from the contractor side, you know, the responsibility of hiring the right kind of people, making sure they have the right clearances, et cetera, before you get to a situation such as the disasters we've seen.
Your comments are particularly eloquent, I think, Mike, because we're addressing issues here that are at the core, not just of the contractor-vendor relationship, but at the core of many relationships all over the federal business space. You know, you talk about requirements. That's not just a trust issue. That's also a money issue, and that's also a legislative issue. And that touches a whole lot of spaces in the area of the relationship between contractors and agencies. Getting to some kind of reform there would seem to help, because if there is some ambiguity, some kind of reform might help to clear up the ambiguity as much as streamline the process.
Right. And you know, first of all, you know, it's understanding what the ambiguities are. You know, I wouldn't necessarily jump to the conclusion, I don't think anybody is, that we need additional legislation or anything like that, or maybe not even regulation. You know, it could be easily determined that the guidance already out there is proper. It just wasn't being followed in these particular cases. That could be an issue. And obviously, the clear trends lately have been, you know, the lack of, you know, the decreased resources within the government, you know, the squeeze on the discretionary budget, which translates into the easier, low-hanging fruit, such as number of staff, travel, training, those sort of things. But those are the areas that may be the most important in terms of managing a growing, larger workforce. I mean, we have data that shows that the number of contractor dollars in constant year, even after the wind downs and the decreases of the last couple of years, it's contracting is up 40% in current year dollars from, say, 10 years ago. You know, it's a huge increase in the amount of contracting going on versus responsibilities that one would have to say were done by federal employees. Now, whether it was done any better by federal employees versus contractors, I'm not sure, but the issue of a growing contracted out outsourced type of government of delivery of services, I think, needs to still be recognized within the the management structures of the agencies. You know, so it's not a matter of, you know, contracting officer making a mistake or the contractor not understanding. That's symptomatic, I think, of larger management issues of the way our government and contractor personnel and entities work together.
Mike Fischetti of the National Contract Management Association, my guest. There's a culture shift that's going to have to go on here, it seems, because you can make suggestions and recommendations and reforms as much as you want, but if the people in the trenches don't actually pick up on them and execute them, then you've accomplished nothing. What do you see as being the keys in rebuilding that level of trust between the contractor and the vendor, or the contractor and the government more broadly, from both sides? As you mentioned, and I agree, this is a two-way street.
Right. I believe it's not necessarily grandiose statements or policy memos or speeches and even new reform legislation. I think it's down and dirty in the trenches of building those skill sets and those competencies. And it's not just, and we're talking about contractual issues, but as we all know, on both sides, within the companies and within the private sector, it's all the skill sets that comprise the ability to execute these programs well. So it's program management, it's project management. You know, if it's a contractor that's responsible for developing or, you know, processing clearances for their employees, what's the relationship? Were the requirements properly articulated? Were they written properly? Well, that's not necessarily a contracting officer's responsibility. It is, but it's those responsibilities are drafted and written by project managers and security specialists within the government, and working with industry to understand what the market is like. And what, you know, understanding things that they can, that when they develop something, that the contractor side, the industry side understands that. So, and that requires lots of informal communication as well. So, you know, one key tenet is communication, government and industry communicating with each other. And certainly that has been limited in the last couple of years, for sure.
And what I find interesting about that is you're hitting on exactly what Frank Kendall on the defense side at DOD, and what Joe Jordan and before him Dan Gordon at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy on the civilian side have talked about extensively. That communication before, during, and after the execution of the contract is critical. And so it sounds like we keep coming back to the same concepts for success, but the fact that we have to keep coming back to them indicates that they're maybe not sinking in as well as we'd like.
Right. You know, myth busting was the memo, you know, from Dan Gordon and then Joe Jordan. And Dr. Kendall recently testified regarding, you know, it's reform by 1,000 measures. You know, it's getting that down and dirty. The answer is getting people back together, communicating so they understand. That doesn't mean doing anything wrong. It's understanding both sides of the table. Our association recommends developing a high-level professional standard that's applicable to government and industry. So for all the talk of training government contracts folks, there ought to be maybe one professional standard that applies to everyone, so that both sides of the aisle know what we're talking about and can talk apples to apples.